All right. So I thought what we would do, I think it's my last mission of the year. But I thought we would do is, but it's good because we'll end off with, I think, is one of the most complicated sugyas to do. We're not going to do the entire sugya because it was like 3 months this year. But the Hakdama to it and the first Gemara is the great, to me, is one of the greatest introductions to one of the most abstract systems in halacha. That's the area of muksa. Muksa is probably the least understood, in my opinion, one of the least understood systems. In fact, most people, when asked a shaila about muksa, usually their reaction usually is to be machmer. They'll think, that's muksa, and that's muksa, and that's muksa. And they don't understand how the system works. What's interesting about muksa is both its formulation as a derabanan is absolutely fascinating. Both, I don't mean historically, I don't mean academically historically, but the way the Gemara portrays it historically, it's fascinating, as well as what the phenomenon of muksa is and what Chazal came up with. It's a really, really, interesting, very deep line of reasoning that they came up with muksa and how it applies. Okay, so my goal today is to first do the Rambam's position on, the Rambam's introduction to muksa, which is fascinating, I think. The Ravitz kashas on it, which we'll take up when we do the Gemara. And just the one main piece of Gemara, right, that deals with the evolution of muksa. There's plenty of Gemaras on muksa throughout Gemara Shabbos. It's over there. In Gemara Shabbos, all over the place. And there's a famous machlokus in Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, whether there is muksa or not muksa. I'm not going to take that up. That's like 2 months of shir right there. I just want to take up this specific issue, the Rambam, and we'll look at the Gemara. It's really machlokus Abaye and Rava. And there's a lot of machlokus into a lot of steps to work out. That's why the board's here. You'll see there's a lot of steps to work out. All right. Let's start off with the Rambam, okay? Okay. So as we all know, the Rambam, when the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam usually is very precise, right? And concise, I should say. Concise. Everything's very simple. You know, this is what the halacha is. Not quite like the Shulchan Aruch, but he's very simple. But he goes into this extremely long introduction to what muksa is, or why Chazal made muksa. I find it's a really, really interesting thing. Who's going to read today? No. You always read. You read Mishmar. You always read Mishmar also. Yehuda, you read.
Wait, no, me.
You want? Can we just say no? I didn't know that was an option.
There's no. Yehuda, I want you to read. It's over there. So the Rambam is Perech Chavdal and Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Yud Beis and Gimel. Asru Chachamim. Okay, that's an important thing to start off with. Okay, let's make sure we're all on the same page. The Isser of Muksa is an Isser of what's called Tiltal. Don't want to say anything except for Nachum. What's Tiltal? We just saw that word. What's Tiltal?
Except for me?
No one can say it except for you.
Oh, move.
The Isser of Muksa. People make this mistake all the time. They think the Isser Muksa is to touch something. Okay, that's not the Isser Muksa. What? Exactly. The issue of Muksa has to do with Tiltal. Okay, so the Isser. So what did Chacham do? The Chacham came along and said there are certain things on Shabbos. Right now, listen carefully. Okay, there are certain things on Shabbos you cannot move. Right, like you would move during the week. Now, just off right off the bat, that's an odd formulation. Because let me ask you a question: how do I move cups during the week? I pick them up, I drink, and put them down. So
I also move them from side to side sometimes.
Right, so what is he talking about?
Whoa.
Okay, what does that even mean? Okay, so keep going, Yehuda. Right, so what was troubling the Chachamim? Why did they decide to do such a thing? Okay.
Amru ma'im hikiru v'im v'tzivu
Stop. So we know what? We know from the Nevi'im that's a separate issue, what it means by the Nevi'im. But we know from the Nevi'im that what's Usher? Okay, right. So there's a certain way you're supposed to walk on Shabbos. Well, I don't care what that halacha is. And there's a certain way, certain things you're allowed to talk about on Shabbos. So you see those halachas apply. There's certain restrictions about how you walk on Shabbos and how you talk on Shabbos.
Talk.
Yeah, conversation. Okay. Kal v'chomer.
Kal v'chomer. Shelo yeh tiltol. Tiltol. To Shabbos. Tiltol b'chol.
Right? So too. So again, let's go very carefully. One second, very carefully. So they're saying, like, what is Rambam saying? Zev, what's Rambam saying?
You already know that you can't do talking or walking like on coal, so therefore, obviously, you can't do...
Well, okay, but at least what the Rambam's telling you is that what this Isser, whatever... Right, okay, there's not generating a brand new Isser. There's a precedence, all right? Remember, Chazal don't just make things up. There's some precedence. So they turn to an existing precedent and say, we can create a Kal V'Chomer from this, that Tiltal should be a problem. Now...
If it's a Kal V'Chomer, wouldn't that be Isser also?
What? Okay, good question. We'll have to get to the Gemara.
How
okay.
are they connected, walking and doing other actions?
I don't know. Keep going. Good question. That's the key.
It shouldn't be like the weekday interaction.
Okay, good. So all these halachas, the halachas of walking a certain way and talking a certain way, are all there to produce what? To make sure that Shabbos remains distinct, unique. That's a little bit different, but yeah, similar. You want to retain the unique sanctity of Shabbos, right? So you see you can't have certain conversations on Shabbos that retains its uniqueness. Tiltal will somehow fit into that as well. Okay? Keep going. Right, Shalosh Shabbos. Ubatal Tam, Shinemar. Well, that's what it's from the Torah. Leman Yanuach. Okay? So, what's the problem? What's the problem here? So, we already know there's a system of Isser Malacha, right? Okay. So, what's going to end up happening? Guy knows he can't plant seeds, he can't dig holes, he can't build. What? You're on the right track, AB. Not quite driving nuts, but what's the Rambam saying? What's going
to
happen?
He's going
to look for something to do, right? What's he going to do? He'll, like, move things around, okay? Move things around, hide his, whatever, matzniya avanim, hide his rocks, whatever it is. The point is, he's going to look for something to do, right? So, and the things he's going to do is he's going to turn to his normative weekday things to do, which involve moving things from here to here, right? And it's going to lose the sanctity of Shabbos, okay? So that's the first reason the Rambam says is that it's built off of the idea of sichas chol. Okay, good. Now he should have stopped there. Go to the next halacha. Okay, 1 second. So now this is already problematic because va'od means what? There's a second reason now. All right, one reason is not enough. Second reason. By the way, very very unique. You don't find often in a Durabanan that you start. You'll see there's three reasons that you start giving multiple rationales. Okay, and we're gonna have to explain why the Rambam feels is necessary to supply multiple rationales. No.
You
can't do it with them.
No. Okay. So, all right. Kli shemalachta leheter and kli shemalachta leheter. A kli shemalachta leheter is what? Give me an example.
Like a fork. Why would you ever ask what and then... For example,
you'll see why.
No,
a fork. A fork. So a fork, its purpose is designed for, let's say, eating food. Whereas my example I like to use is a power drill. A power drill is a klisha melachto le'isser, okay? Meaning that on Shabbos, right, a power drill normally is used to do what?
Drill,
which is going to be usser, okay? So look, so what's going to happen? The guy's going to look for things to do to move, okay? He's going to move a kli that's melachto le'isser. So now, Efshar, what's going to happen?
Efshar.
Maybe.
Might be she sasek behen.
Me'at.
Me'at. V'yobo lide
melacha. Oh. So what's the problem? Guy's going to start playing around with this. Again, there's no problem picking up a power tool before a bun come along. I can pick up my drill. But what's going to happen? Once I pick up the drill, it's possible I'm going to start doing Isser Melacha with it. That's reason number two. Okay. Now he's got one more. This is my favorite one. All right. What? The third reason?
Yeah.
No.
It's basically the same.
No.
Dig a hole.
No. The ode. Yuri, go on. The ode.
The ode mit ne. Shemitza sa'am enam.
Do.
Vali unios ella bitalin kol yimehen kigon ha. Was it? Hatayalin?
Hatayalin.
Hatayalin. Yoshbe Koronos.
Shekol Yimehen.
Shekol Yimehen. Hain.
Shavasim imalacha. Okay, so let's put it in today's terms. Okay, let's say you have, put in today's world, the unemployed. Okay, so you have a group of Jews, right, a group of people, who are unemployed. So what do unemployed people do during the day?
Nothing.
Nothing. They sit at home and do nothing. Okay? But shavasim imalacha. They're not involved in malacha at all. They sit at home and do nothing. Okay? V'im ye mutter. Unbelievable. So what's the problem? The problem is, if you tell a guy who sits at home on his chair and does nothing all day, and Shabbos comes... Right, there's nothing unique about Shabbos for this guy because his normal life doesn't involve any creative malacha. Right? In other words, this guy's a bum. He sits at home all day. Right? So what's going to happen is that his existence is one that's shvisa, that is a shvisa malacha. So how is Shabbos going to be unique to him? The Rambam says,
just the following thing. Lefichach, Shabisa midvarim, Elu, he Shabisa hashava, the whole Adam.
Right? So, by not moving things on Shabbos, right? So, what does that do? It creates a universal. Now, everyone's equal. Meaning, no matter what, whether you're the unemployed bum or the regular guy, no matter what, you always will have a unique experience of Shabbos. Okay? Right? Umne dvarim Elu, Nagu b'Israel Tilto. Okay? Okay, so now let me ask you a question. Okay? Forget that. Hold on. Let me ask you a question. The Rambam offers us three discrete reasons. Okay? That's odd. Why does the Rambam give us three reasons? Right? Or in other words, what's the svara for each reason? What is each reason trying to bring out? Yeah, so the first reason is that you see on you can't talk a certain way on Shabbos. You can't talk like Chol. You can't walk like Chol. So too, they're going to say you can't move things like Chol. That's one idea, right? To ensure, as he says this way you'll make sure that you have shalosha ubatal tam. You don't want to be vatal the tam of the man yanuach. All right, that's one. Two, that if I pick up a power drill, right, to move it, what am I going to do with that power drill if I move it? Okay, good. And the third reason is that it's a small segment of the population who, for them, there is no reality of Shabbos to them. Because every day of the week is a Shabbos to them, because they don't work. So they're not involved in Malacha, then how is the day of Shabbos going to be unique to them? So by creating this Isser of Muksa, it's going to create a universal idea that now everyone's equal, and Shabbos will apply equally. It'll impact your life, whether you're someone who does Malacha during the week or not. Because no matter what, when you hit Shabbos, the Isser Tiltol, the Isser of moving these objects, will have an impact on the guy. What is going on here? And that question before, since when do we care about a small segment of the population? How's it different than the first answer? Okay, no, it's good. In other words, hold on.
Oh,
so, one second. Zev's saying very good. The first step, if you're going to start analyzing this, the first thing you analyze and say, well, of all the three reasons, the one that's most likely to rebound is the second one, right? Because if I pick up the power drill, it's going to lead me to do drilling, okay? Right. So then why not just stop there? So why not stop there? What's that lacking?
Let me guess. They're trying to balance two ideas. One of resting.
So the first reason the Rama's offering is going to say that the first one's offering is a philosophical imperative. A classic and philosophical imperative, which is that we want to retain Kedusha Shabbos, right? So he's saying the philosophical imperative to do this comes from the idea of Kedusha Shabbos. That's why he points to Sichas Chol and walking, the way you walk during the week, meaning that the Chacham felt, which we don't know why yet, but the Chacham felt that by asering tiltol on Shabbos of certain objects, right, what that will do is that will ensure that the philosophical, the way a person relates philosophically to Shabbos will remain intact. Okay? What? Just like Sichas Chol. Okay? But there's a problem with that, though. That's a very nice philosophical idea, but it lacks what?
It lacks
a halakhic structure. Yeah. Thus, the second reason. The second reason shows you that there is a halakhic construct to this, meaning it'll lead you to do something, so that's why it can fit into an Issa D'Rabbanan. But the problem with that, though, is what Ellie said before, which is?
Missing a lot of muksa.
Right. It's not complete. You'll see. It's an incomplete assessment. Because there's many more cases. Right, there's a lot more cases like Machmas Chisron Kiss and a lot of other cases of Muksa that exist that are beyond Klishim Lachta Lisser. That if I picked up the object, it's not going to lead me to do a Malacha. But But in order for it to be entered into the system of the Darbanan, the third reason the Rambam offers, really, if you understand why he brings that in, you'll understand why he has to have three reasons. The third reason explains to you why he needs all three reasons. What's the third reason showing us? More than that. The third reason is that you have like these unemployed bums who don't do, who in their lives, the malacha is not a reality, right? So what Shabbos is going to be for them? So you have to make muksa by making an iser tiltel, so now shvisa will be a universal for everyone. Meaning, whether I'm someone who does work during the week or not, I will be impacted by Shabbos. What is that? What is he talking about?
You just do those objects in Shabbos.
I mean, everyone's going to...
Well, we also see that these people are going
to... What's bothering the Rambam about these people? What's such a problem? Why is it a big deal? Who cares? At the end of the day, can I ask a question? At the end of the day, no, they're not. Because at the end of the day, there's an iser malacha on Shabbos, right? So what do I care if what he called if he's not impacted by that? At the end of the day, the Isser Malacha applies. He knows he can't start a fire on Shabbos. Why is the knowledge of that sufficient? It should be sufficient to know that I can't make a fire on Shabbos. No, I'm saying for the guy doesn't do, let's say a guy doesn't dig holes during the week. Okay, so I don't dig holes during the week, and I know on Shabbos I can't dig a hole.
Then your week is the same as your Shabbos.
So, because the problem is like this. The problem is that it's not what the Rambam is telling you is the Chazal felt there's a serious problem here. It's not enough just to have a shvisa on Shabbos. Rather, there's a certain type of shvisa we must have.
What's
shvisa mean? What? What's an am shvisa? No. But before that, the shvisa means resting. The idea of abstention from malacha. It has to be a shvisa nikaris. It has to be nicker on Shabbos. It has to be nicker on Shabbos that there's a shvisa. Okay, that's the key to the Rambam. So what's this reason showing us? And this is the key. What do Chazal do here? What do they do? What do they create? In my opinion, they created something revolutionary, and that's why he says it for the third reason. If you think about it, you'll see why. What's so difficult about the area of Muksa? Not just that. How expansive is Muksa? Muksa affects every single part of your Shabbos existence. It's not just klishim lachta le'isr and heter, right? How does muksa work? When Shabbos starts, every single one of your things in your house acquires a new shame, midrabanan. Books acquire shame, tables acquire shame, cups acquire shame, bottles. Every single thing transforms, because of the rabanan, from being simply a bottle to some kli. Is it a klishim lachta le'isr, heter? Is it machmas chisar on kiss? Is it, there's another category where it's disgusting. Every kli that you have in your house transforms automatically on Shabbos to become something else. So you know what they did? Because it's such a far-reaching gzera, right? Chazal really, really expanded their powers in this one. Because in my opinion, you know what they created? Remember this? They created an iser malacha midrabanan. That's what they did. In my opinion, what Chazal did is they created an iser malacha midrabanan. Okay, the iser malacha midrabanan is tiltel. Okay, and then they work out all the little details. That's what the Rambam's trying to say at the end. He's trying to say to universalize it means that when Shabbos hits, you know you have your 39 deraisa malachas, but there's a problem. The problem is that not everyone's affected by them. You don't have a complete shvisa nikaris. How do you produce a shvisa nikaris? By adding one more malacha midrabanan, and it's called muksa. Okay, and that's why it's such a complex system. It's not simply one specific thing. It transcends your entire Shabbos experience. Every aspect of your Shabbos, in some way or another, is affected by muksa. So look at what the Ravid says, Amar Ram, Od Amru.
You see where like the weird plus and like...
Yeah, but like right from the bottom where it says, right, Od Amru, Atu Tiltel.
I see where it says
Ravid.
I don't know where you're at now.
Go a couple lines down from there.
Read a little further in the Ravid. Od Amru.
Pimei,
right?
No. First, Od Amru. Okay, so the Ravid doesn't like this whole approach because the Ravid says, and you'll see why he derives it from the Gemara. He says the Rambam's wrong. That the reason why you can't move things on Shabbos is because it is a classic derabanan. What's it coming to protect?
Hotzah.
What's hotzah?
Carrying.
That's ludicrous.
The Od Amru.
Ben
Chiklia, oh my god, right? Nishnis Mishnah Zoo. So now When did Muksa come into existence? And the Gemara is going to flesh this out. In the times of Nehemiah. Okay, so the second... Right? But it comes to existence during the times of Nehemiah. Okay? Keep going. Yuri, keep going.
Sha'amru
Shlosha Kelim. Right, Nimsa.
Wait, so what does that mean? Three things? Three
you'll see from the Gemara. But there were three Kelim Ktanim that were on your Shulchan. Got okay?
Nimsa ki mipnei chiyuv hotzah isru betil to masha asru shabu geder hotzah.
Okay, so he's stressing this point that the whole function of muksa is a protective measure for hotzah.
Is hotzah malacha?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. We'll see if you have time to get back to the Aruch HaShulchan. But for now, let's put the driver to the side and let's take a look at the Mishnah and the Gemara. Okay? All right. What? If you look at Kuf Chaf Gimel Beis and Shabbos, this is the real introduction to how Muksa evolved. And it really did evolve, by the way. All right? Look at the Mishnah. The Yosed Shel Macharisha. Okay, so this is great if we pass in this way. Rav Yossi held that muksa, right? Nothing. You can move anything you want to on Shabbos, except for two things. Obviously, the categorical. Okay.
The saw and the hoe.
Right. The saw and the hoe. And what's with those two things? Okay. Right. What are those two things? So if you look at Rashi, okay. But look what he says. Where he says in the second Rashi, the Yosed. You see, where he says the Hanach Kapid. The Hanach Kapid. You see, the Yosed Shel Macharisha. Go down a little bit. The Hanach Kapid.
Hanach
Kapit Alayu.
Oh, Kapit. Okay. The Hanach Kapit Alayu. Umiyachad Lahem Makam Delo Chazu
Malacha Acheres. So these specific Kalim have very specific tasks. So let's say, like, well, using today's terms, like, let's say, like, I have a specialized, like, shovel. Okay. Meaning like this. Remember, you got to think abstractly. Okay. A shovel is used for what?
Digging graves.
But what? Digging. Right, but what else could it, what else? But remember, think abstractly. What else could a shovel be used for?
Crack a walnut.
Whacking someone on the head. Really
cracking a walnut. Good. All right. No, that's shoveling.
No, being good is the one that's
missing. What? Okay. But imagine I had a. But if I had a. There's certain kalim that has such a specialized function that I would never use it for anything else. Okay. So Rav Yossi's saying is that the only things that usher bimpi muksa, according to Rav Yossi, which we're not going to get into shita per se because that's all the gemaras. We're saying the only thing that are usher on Shabbos to move are things that have a very specialized function.
Meaning they only do one thing.
Right. They're normal. Right. They only do one thing.
Like, right. It's like no. It's like a shlita knife. No one ever
right.
Going to use a shlita knife for anything else but shlita.
Exactly. I didn't say about designating. Hold on there, buddy. Okay. Tanu Rabbana. Okay. Slow down. Okay. So in the beginning of what?
Time.
No. Okay. Listen to this very carefully. When they first came up with this Durabanan, okay, which you never see this in halacha.
What do you mean this Durabanan?
Muksa. When Chazal sat down and said, or when the rabbis in Nehemiah's time sat down and said, you know what, we got to come up with an Isser called Muksa, okay, what did they first say? They first said three things, right? There are only three things you're allowed to pick up on Shabbos. The reverser of Yossi. There's only three things you can move on Shabbos. What are those things? Yes, Miksoa Sheltvela. So I'll put it in today's terms. They said, you know what kelim you can move? A fork, a knife, and a spoon. That's it. All right, meaning that it's not quite this way, because we've shown in flesh out it wasn't quite that extreme, but the Gemara is trying to present a point to you, which is that when they first came up with Muksa, okay, what do they do? So they said, basically, everything's lesser except for these three kalim. Okay, that's it. That's a pretty... Okay, now, we have to understand... What? No, 1 second. Now you have to understand the reason why, okay? And Rashi brings this down, but the reason why is, because what was happening? Let's take the easy interpretation. What was happening was is that people were mechal Shabbos like crazy. Remember, in the times of Ezra Nehemiah, the Jews were not exactly on a high plane when they first came back. So, and I'm not getting into the history of it, but the point is that there was a lot of Chil Shabbos taking place. So the reaction to that is, we're going to create Muksa. We're going to force everyone to get back in line with Shabbos to make moving all things Asur except for these three things. Okay? All right. I don't care. I'm not interested in why it was that extreme. What I'm interested in is the next line. So now, what does the Gemara say?
Well, Hatira is going on the last thing, isn't it? Hatira is like what they permitted these three things.
No, hold on.
Yeah.
No.
Permitted some stuff.
No. Hatira.
Hatira v'chazru v'hatira.
Okay, no. So Hatira is going on this. But what happened? Okay. They saw in the first version of Muksa, I kid you not, in version 1.0, what happened?
Too much.
It was too much. Yeah. No. But that slowly people started keeping Shabbos again. It was working. Okay? It was working. So what did they do?
They went past it.
Chazru vehitiru. They relented. They said, now we're going to take, before and only this much was mutter, now we're going to say this much is mutter. And then, again, they saw that people were doing well with Shabbos, right?
Chazru, and then they went further back, vehitiru.
So they did another, what do you call it, expansion. Okay?
It's like a reward system, like, oh, you can count.
All I'm telling you is this, it's a fascinating idea, because you don't have this by Isuri Darabanan. They came up with Isuri Darabanan, and they said, our plan is working like a charm. People are keeping Shabbos again. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to relent. We're going to matir more things. And then people were being good. They matir more things. We'll take an ad
sha'amru. Ad sha'amru. Kol ha'kele nitle b'shabbos. Chutz min maser ha'gadol v'yeser shel
ha'gadol. So until they return back to Rav Yossi. So think about this for a second. There was an actual evolution of an Issur d'Rabbanan. Obviously, they had a Beis Din come in to matir, but the point is, how crazy is that? There was an actual evolution. Calm down. Don't need to extrapolate, okay? Let's just relax. Maybe, but I'm not worried about every other situation. I'm worried about here. So here, what happened? There was an actual retraction, meaning it was this, and then went to this, then went to this. Now, obviously, conceptually, when they formulated Muksa, right, it wasn't that they had to reinvent it every time. Rather, the institution itself lent itself to be able to be modified. Right? That's, Yudi, there's an important point. It's not that they said, oh, we came up with this, now what? All, if you understand, you'll see when we analyze each version of Muksa, when they came up with Muksa conceptually, they recognized Muksa lends itself to this concept of modification. The system itself lends itself to that kind of thing. You'll see why. Okay?
Because they made it up, or is this...
So now let's have some fun here. This is the hard part, okay? So, Vitira v'chazra vitira. So what do they do here? There's what specific... What happened? What happened each step? And here's the best part. It's about Chokos Abai and Rava on each step. Okay? Each step requires its own Svara. Mipi Rava and Mipi Abai. So, go for it. Amar Abai.
Amar Abai. Hetiru Devar Shemalakto Leheter Letzorich.
Gufo. Okay. What does that mean?
That they decided anything that it's...
Well, let's get a terminology down.
Okay?
That's
a thing like... Devar...
Hey, Claudia.
Things
you need for your,
like,
in version 1, what do we have?
It's things that are
Dvar Shemalachto.
Sorry, this is in version that first Heter.
Right. We'll start with what is in the first version, okay? Kli Shemalachto Leheter. Right? Legufo, right, is Mutter.
Still
right?
Bar,
but Mutter. But Litzarech Makom, or Limkomo, is Aser. Okay, now what's Lukomo?
You want the space that it's currently occupied.
That's the most important thing, okay? Gufo means I want the cup to use the cup.
Not for the space.
Right. Lukomo seems a simple thing. I want to put something down over there, so I'm going to move it to the side.
Okay.
Right? Because I want that mukha.
Right now you can't move it.
Right. So at this point, in the first version, right? Klisha Malachto, what's that again? Right, the first version, Klisha Malachto, Leheter, Lugufo is Mutter, right?
Yeah.
And Lukomo is Aser. So the first retraction is to say that Gufo, right? Gufo plus Mekomo is Mutter. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. What? Yeah, Klisha Malachto Leheter. Okay? So now, now keep that in mind. These are both cases of Klisha Malachto Leheter. So let's take our spoon. We'll use our spoon as an example. In the first version, I can only move a spoon to use the spoon to eat. Okay? If it's lying on the table, I could pick it up and use it to eat my cereal. But if I want to move that spoon over... I'm not allowed to do that. Okay? Spoon's butter.
Wait, so it
was butter before also.
Yeah.
Right. So can we say plate in the first?
Well, let's say clothing. I can move clothing to wear it. I can't move clothing to hang something else.
Sure. A blank. There's a shirt on my chair. I want to move it because I want that area of the chair. Okay? Okay. So then the first version, the first heter is gufo emekom emekom butter.
That's the second.
Okay? Next.
That's the first hedger, the second hedger. That's the second hedger, right?
That's
the, yeah, the first hedger is that you can move something.
Yes, yes.
It's not a fork.
Correct. Well, right. No, that had to be the beginning. In the first version of the book, it's always. Right. Okay. Then comes this. Now, what's number three? What's the next one?
Yeah.
Next one.
Right, now go to the next one.
In.
No, in. Aval.
Oh, okay.
Wait, what? Lezarek Mukamala. In Lezarek Mukamala.
Right.
What? I don't have an Aval here.
That's fine. Lezarek Mukamala. Okay. So what does that mean? So what's the second one? Now we come up with, you got to keep these variables in mind. Now we have Klisha Malachto. What's that? So in this version over here, right? Klisha Malachto Isser. Right? It's always Asher to move.
But yeah. First two versions.
Right, first two versions, right? Is that clear? Yeah. Do you guys remember that? Right? Okay. So now what he says is the next one is Klisha Malachto.
The Isser
is what?
I can move to use it. Obviously not for an Isser.
Not for an Isser.
Right, yeah. Gufo.
If I want to use a hammer to crack a walnut, it's okay.
That's right, exactly. I can use a power drill to crack a walnut, okay? What about Mukombo?
No.
Interesting. Okay. Next.
Right? Yes. Okay. In.
Okay. Now another thing. Okay. If the kli can be, it's an amazing thing. Okay. If the kli can be picked up with one hand, okay,
it's
mutter to move it. Okay. B'shtei yadav lo. Okay. So that's the next thing. So now.
I can only move things one hand and drive them on the other categories also, right?
That's just an equation.
Of course, yes. Ellie's correct. In other words, keep that in mind. Ellie's correct in saying that doesn't preclude the Klisha Malachto Isser Heter classifications, meaning this is a whole new kind of Heter. Kli Yad Echad is Mutter, right? But Kli that requires Yadayim
Aser.
Even if Klisha Malachto Isser Heter.
Even if it's Klisha Malachto Isser, it's still...
Yeah, I thought right now, for all these things, I can only do it with one hand.
Right, correct. Correct. No. So what's the last relenting? Ash Amru Kol Kalim Nitla Mishabis Rafil B'Shei Adayim. Okay? Now what's missing though? Okay, until what? Until what are you left with? Right? The last version is two hands, right? Two hands mutter.
Fully
engaged. And so Klisha Malachto Isser
Ufo is the only thing that's
out there. No, Mukamo. Correct. So the only thing we have left, when it's all said and done, is Klisha Malachto Isser Mukamo. That's the one thing that stayed. Okay?
Okay.
So.
That's
all,
there are ways around this.
We didn't do Rav yet. I ask you, each one of these steps requires its own svar.
Yes.
Okay? Each one requires its own unique svar. Each one is the development of another idea. Now, let's stop for a second. You want to do Rav's version, or should we just define Abaye for now?
No, it's fine.
Okay. So let's understand something. So we have three kalim. We have, let's make it simple. Fork, knife, spoon. Okay? Okay. Fork, Klisha Malachto Leheter, Klisha Malachto Isser. I have fork, knife, spoon. So, of course, what's the Gemara telling you? In the pre-form of Muksa, okay? How do we look at the fork? Okay? What do we say about the fork? How do we look at forks?
Therefore, you can use
them.
Okay.
The first step I want to work out is there's a huge jump going from the first version where there is, I'm going to say, there's no Klisha Malachto Leheter Leisser. There are forks, knives, and spoons, okay? And right, there's muksa, not muksa. And then the next move the Gemara makes is going to say, now we're going to create Klisha Malachto Leheter and Isser. But before it gets a cliche, this concept of malachto la A or B, before that was a fork. Afterwards, it's no longer a fork, it's a cliche malachto la heter or cliche malachto la isser. I want to know, what's that move? Okay, what's the first way you look at it? Right, but if you say that, limiting it to these three kalim means that we're going to say that all things are, let's say, muksa, right? We don't know what that is yet.
And we're giving you a heter to use.
But these three things, but like, because forks, right? I don't care why, but the fact is, if when I use a fork for fork purposes, okay, meaning, what?
No, right. No, I'm saying right now, you know,
I think what they're saying is that kalim have in them functions, okay?
Right.
So what's the function of a fork?
It's
To eat, right? So what they said was is that muksa applies by everything. They make an exclusion by these three. But it's a quick question whether it's these three only or they were like small categories. But the point is...
Anyway, I just want to say those categories weren't included in muksa at all.
Agreed.
In which case, I can use it forever I want, but it's not muksa. As opposed to later on, they're going to be included in muksa and the function matters.
Agreed. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. You're right. I'm not disagreeing with that. That's fine. That's fine.
Does gufo... Are we saying gufo means for it itself?
There's no gufo yet. Hold on. There's no gufo yet. We're talking about right now, before gufo comes into existence, what we're going to say, these kelim are mutter to use.
I'm just saying, post-facto, the fact that they added all gufo things, does that mean that originally, are we defining gufo as...
thing? Those things are mutter to use on Shabbos.
So listen
to me. It's mutter to use them on Shabbos. There's no idea of tiltle we're talking about here.
Say,
a fork is something I can use on Shabbos.
So,
what's the move now to introduce an idea of malak klisha malakdo le'erbe? Like the heter, iser, this whole business. What's that? And I don't care about iser. I'm saying, what are they getting into now? Or gufo, makomo? They're changing the paradigm. What are they looking at now? Say it again? What?
It's not just about the function, it's about the thing itself.
Oh, okay. It's about the thing itself. And when we look at things, and this is the most important word that exists in muksa, the most important word in muksa is when we look at an object, we need to determine not the fork anymore. We look at objects and we assess objects based on... No, utility. The general utility of the object, okay? We start looking at objects as objects of generic utility, okay? So if you look at objects based on generic utility, now the break between gufo and makomo makes perfect sense. Because why would you see that break? Because legufo means what?
It's useful itself.
What?
It's useful itself.
It's useful
itself.
Okay. But what's makomo showing you?
It's useful not being there.
Makomo is, you're divorcing utility from the kli itself. If I pick up the cup to drink from it, okay, remember, don't worry about the fact it's a cup. It's a kli shemalach del heter. If I pick up a kli shemalach del heter to drink from it, what am I doing? The kli is being utilized,
yeah.
Okay? For, let's say it's normative function for now, but it's being utilized.
Yeah.
For its cleanness, okay? For its what it is, for what it is.
So the first one is mutter all functions. All mutter functions.
In gufo versus makomo.
In the second...
Gufo versus makomo. Yeah. Gufo is mutter, yeah. So what he said was is that as long as I'm utilizing the kli...
For its heterness.
Right, for its heterness, or... Right? Then it's okay. But what's the problem if I move it? What's moving it? Move it out of the way. No, saying if I limkoma, what is that? What's the problem with limkoma?
I don't want the thing; I just want the lack of the thing.
Right. In other words, you're not utilizing the kli for its
cleanness. You're, at all. For itself.
Right for it exactly. Right. In other words, there's no utility being used in the kli anymore. Right. I'm pushing it to the side. Right. So that's not a utility of the kli. I'm divorcing the utility from the kli. That's why it was a problem. Okay. Good. Now, what's the next step?
Makoma is mutter also.
Yeah, so then okay. So makoma becomes mutter as well, meaning that what, even if
I don't want the thing itself, but I just want the lack of the thing.
Right. But now they pull back. Now you got to be careful. Think in your mind now. Pull back and now understand also that now the difference between klisha malachta leheter and iser has to be explained. What's the difference between klisha malachta leheter and iser?
I don't want to hear what he's saying.
Say that if I'm moving it for legufo, right, for it. So what do I care? For it, right? So we know the differentiation is obvious because a power drill, if I pick it up, is going to lead me to do power drilling, right? Because that's its utility. Okay. But let me ask you a question: if that's true, and as they're relenting, okay, so why would they maintain a differentiation of gufo makomo by klish malach leiser, but not by heter? Why retain this vestige of it's still a problem for makomo by klisha malach
leiser? Like,
once we're saying that, no one's saying that I can pick up a power drill to go drilling, right? Obviously,
right.
But if I'm saying if I say this my power drill is my walnut cracker, right? So once I'm saying I could pick it up to crack walnuts, why not say I can makomo also?
So that's what I'm saying.
Why not makomo too?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because gufo, if you're saying you're picking it up to crack walnuts, so that's a directed action. My action, from the second I pick it up, I know exactly what I'm going to do with it.
Great.
Oh.
One second. But right. I can say about klisha malach del heter.
I got it.
What's
the
difference?
I got it.
We see another nice difference between gufo and makomo. that by gufo, in other words, gufo, as I say, as I see, everything's building one after the other. By gufo, when I use the gufo, I'm expressing its utility, right? So the thing is that by klishim lach le'isser, which Morty's saying very nicely, when I pick that paradrill up to use as a walnut cracker, so what I'm saying right now is that I'm not using it for, there's even power drilling, I'm using for walnut cracker. So it's nicker in the misa, that's what I'm using it for. So it's clear, I can show based on my usage of it, it's linked to what I'll be using it for. But by Mekomo, as he's saying, I'm not doing that, okay? So Chazal cleverly maintain a nice differentiation for you to see between klishim malach d'l'heter, where we're not worried about the consequence, right, versus klishim malach d'l'isser. Okay? Good. Okay. So far, so good?
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
yeah,
what about the two hands versus one hand? Okay? So Amalei Rava. Okay, so so Rava doesn't like the following. Rava says, you're going to start playing this game of differentiating Gufo and Makomo? That's not what they did. Meaning there's no reason to differentiate Gufo and Makomo, right? If I can do tilt on an object, I can do tilt on an object. I don't have to start getting into whether it's for the utility of the Kli or it's non-utilization of the Kli, I'm moving it, divorcing utility. He doesn't care about that. So if that's true, what is he going to have to now do?
The Hatters.
Now he's going to have to explain each Hatter. Okay? All right, go. So what's the first one? Ella Amarava.
Ella Amarava. Hatir Devar Shemalachto Lehetter Bain Litzari Gufo Bain Litzari Makomo.
Okay, so what's the first one?
Hatter for both.
Hetter for both. Okay, I'll write up on the board in a second. But Hetter for both. So Klishim Lach Lehetter is both Mutter Legufo and Makomo.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
next. What? No, hold on. The Chazer Bitiru, Davar Shem Lach Lehetter Letzarech Gufo, Ulitzarech Makomo in, Letzel Lo. Okay, what's Letzel?
Okay, fine.
One second, what's Letzel? What does that mean? So take a look. I think there's Rashi in this. What does Rashi say?
Oh, like
very good. Things. Very good. Look at Rashi. Let's see. She'eno tsarech lo achshav, lo legufo v'lo menkomo, ela chasalav shema yizbakei b'chama. So what's the problem? If I leave this thing outside, what's going to happen? It'll get destroyed. Whatever. The sun, it's bad for it to be in the sun. So what do? I take it out of the sun and bring it inside. So now all of a sudden we have a whole new category here. Think about it. We had Gufo Makomo before. Now he brings in a third one, which is called taking something that's going to be, let's say, it's Chasalea. He's worried about it. He doesn't want to leave it outside. Brings it inside. Okay? What's that? Keep going.
Where am I?
The Chazer Vitiro.
The Chazer Vitiro Dvar Shemachar.
The Isser.
Letzarei Gufo Letzarei Makomo.
In.
In.
Okay, good. Uh-huh. And now, okay, good. And now, what's the next one?
This one is you for machmel, you're good, but not for tzel.
Right. Vadayin.
Vadayin. Be'adam achar in.
Okay, now we'll say it slowly. Be'adam echad in.
In.
Right, which means what? Which means that as long as
one person does it,
can one. It's a kli that one person can normally pick up.
Okay.
But b'shnei b'nei adam, a couch low. Wow. So this is very difficult. Keep in mind, Abaye saying that, which is, again, is focused on the hands, okay? Meaning a kli that...
What was the story with the hands? Sorry.
We didn't explain that yet, okay? But what was, again, what was Abaye's idea by the hands, right? What was the problem there?
Things that you can pick up with one hand. He doesn't say. It's just the rule is, if you can pick it up with one hand, it's good. If you can pick
up
with two, you
can't. Right. Well, moved. There's a difference between something I can move. Examples like this: a pencil, which is one hand to move, versus let's say like what do you call it?
A big pot.
But this is different. This is saying adam echad, which you could say what do you call it? Is a large box versus
a couch.
Yeah. Okay. Until the final relaxation was what?
Even
two people. Okay, so the point of contention between Abaye and Rava is going to be a fundamental point of contention, a fundamentally different way of looking at Muksa, right? Which comes from the fact that according to Rava, the very premise of Gufo and Makomo being separate is absurd. So the first step is to understand what's that machlokas? Or Abaye holds, we separate out gufo makomo. And Rebbe says, that's absurd. We never take that into account. And he's consistent throughout the entire cases here. Gufo makomo always the same. There's no reason to differentiate between gufo makomo. Why would he say that?
Yeah,
if you differentiate between gufo and makomo, and you start playing that game, okay? So what you're considering is, if you think about that definition of legufo or limkomo, what are you really talking about now? You're looking at the kli and saying kalim have certain functions, utilities. Sure. The kalim have utilities, right? Yeah. So if the utility of the kli is expressed through me using it legufo, that's a different expression than if I move it, which is divorcing its utility. Right. But that's all from, that's your cue, the perspective of the kli, okay? That's the definition of the kli. But according to Rava's saying, what are you talking about?
From
the perspective of the Gavra, he doesn't care. For him, it's a utility no matter what. Right. If I move it out of the way, or I move it this, move it that, it doesn't matter. That's an expression of the way I relate to it. One second, let me finish with him. There's a difference between saying that the Kli has a defined utility, okay, versus saying that when I say the Gavra relates to it, he relates to it insofar as it being a productive action. Okay, so as far as I'm concerned, there's no difference in the area of a productive action, whether it's I'm using it to drink from it or move it out of the way. But mechamel itself is not a productive action.
It's the you want to not get a negative result.
I'm avoiding something to take place. That's not a productive action using the kli. You understand? In other words, I'm answering why it fits into mechamel itself. In other words, I'm going to take one more step. The difference between saying that when you say the God relates to it, I'm going to add one more word.
Second. He gets production.
Right. It's a productive action, meaning the moving, the use. In other words, when I move the kli, it doesn't matter if I'm moving the goof or makomo. Either way, you define that as a productive tiltal, right? But when I go from chamo to tzel, you're not going to say that because you're saying that's a preemptive action. You're saying I'm worried that thing might get destroyed, right? That's not going to fit in. Okay?
Wow, what a great
scenario. It's a non-productive it's a non-productive tiltal. That's an incredible machlokas. Think about that. Do you say, if you look at it insofar as the kli is concerned, then you can start, that's the same for the end of the year. That's when you can start getting to differentiations of gufo makomo, right? But if you say it goes based on the way the gavra relates to it, well then that's a question of productive actions. So I can introduce mechamel tzel. But Abaye would never have mechamel tzel in his repertoire because, mechamel tzel doesn't make any sense. So I do mechamel tzel according to him. There's simply, from the kli's perspective, is it being utilized or am I divorcing the utility? But not according to Rubber. Rubber's saying it's how I look to it. It's a productive action.
According to Abaye, mechamel tzel is just...
In this last step here, let's divorce what we said before. In the last step here, there's one point where Abaye and Rubber converge. Where do they converge on?
One, two.
Well, no, not the numbers. No, in other words, shtei yadayim equals one adam.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, keep that in mind. Shtei yadayim is one adam. I'm creating an equivalency here.
Yeah.
Two hands means one person. I don't know. This will fit into our svaras, but you have to be a little more creative here to figure out the problem. So let's start with Abaye. So Abaye's perspective is always from the kli. Okay? So what's the difference between saying a kli that I can move with one hand versus a kli that requires two hands to move, vis-a-vis the kli?
In other words, now
we're going to take into account the Maisa Tiltal itself. Okay? In other words, the transition now, this is key. This is critical. And this is why it's such a beautiful whole story here. All along, we've been dealing with, again, looking at Abaye and Rava in parallel. Abaye is saying, one second, we look at it from the perspective of the Kli, or that's a productive action. But now we got to take a step back, because remember, Shtei Adayim or Shtei Adam applies to the entire gamut, right? So now we're shifting now. And we're looking at the nature of the Maisa Tiltal. Okay? We're going from now the Maisa Tiltal itself. So one second. So Ellie's on the right track. Because if you say that if I can move it with one hand, there's something about the fact that I can move it with one hand that's telling me that when it comes to the Maisa Tiltal vis-a-vis the Kli, what?
So that's normal. I don't know. It's a moved object.
A moved object?
In other words, he's saying that normally speaking...
Moved.
Right.
As opposed to...
Giant soup pots usually
aren't moved.
No. But what he's saying...
Normally moved.
Right. In other words, if I can move something with one hand, so the kli lends itself. It lends itself to tiltal. Okay.
It's a tiltal.
It's a tiltal.
Right, it's a chefsa that has on it, attached to it, the quality of...
It's a total chefsa.
No, fine.
No, that makes a lot more sense and a lot more truthful. It's a chefsa that has total
weight.
Has the quality of total
weight. No, that's your
chefsa. If you're going to put in the perspective of the Maisa Tiltal, what you're going to say is that if the object is able to be moved with one hand, so you're going to say that that is considered like, it's hard to figure out the right word to use. I think at the time we used the word nihug, right? But it's made in a way, it's again, this is not talking about, when I do the action Tiltal, these objects are, if I can move with one hand, it's like you're saying, it's a Tiltal chefsa, okay? But whereas two hands, what? What's he saying by two hands?
Where
it's twinned,
the ability for
tilt-tool,
but it's not a
tilt-tool. Right, so what you're going to have to say is what? It's not that two hands means it can't be moved, but rather what?
One of its secondary functions.
What?
Tertiary functions.
Well, it's not that it can.
Temporary is the right word.
All right, in other words, Mordechai's right, but we have to express it in the Maisa. In other words, you're right insofar as the Kli is concerned. You can make this categorization as saying that to certain kelim that part of their nature is to be moved. Versus Shnei Yadayim, easily. Well, no. Let's say easily for a second. There's a difference between saying that an object is meant to be moved versus not meant to be moved. Okay? But they express that as a Maisa Tiltal versus ease of movement. Meaning, I'm going to use the word I'm going to use like this. In other words, for whatever, the difference is going to be is that they decide to make a shear of dexterity. Meaning that to take the idea you're saying and express it as a Maisa, they're going to have to say that since one is easily moved, right? That shows us that the chefsa is made for tiltal. Yeah. The one that requires a greater expression of dexterity, that demonstrates that it's not a tiltal object.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You understand? Obviously. Very good. So that's why Shnei B'nei Adam for sure is going to be a problem. Because there, what you're going to say is, in other words, if I can't move it on my own, right? If I can't do a mice
it's
a tiltal
like
object.
It's tertiary function. It doesn't have that function.
Correct. Right. It's removed completely from tiltal. Or put it a different way. In other words, no. Ellie, I'll tell you why. It's like this. Listen. By Shtei Adayim, there's still a relationship I have of tiltal to the object, right? It's not that there's no idea of tiltal at all, right? It's difficult.
The whole problem is the Kli's not defined as certain things by it.
Right.
No. By one yad, it's defined as a normally move things, by two dimes, non-normally move things.
Right,
It's removed.
From a standpoint, remember, Rubba's looking so far as productivity is concerned.
No, he's not arguing.
I'll get to that in a second. I'll show you from Rubba's perspective, okay? Rubba's saying that, remember, Rubba's always looking at productivity, okay? And again, expressing that idea through the Maisa Tiltal, if I can't move this object on my own, what's he going to say? He's going to say that now, right, there's no idea, what do you call it, of tzorech attached to the object at all. Because if I can't do the Maisa Tiltal on its own, by definition, it's what? It's not an object. Again, from his perspective of being the potential for productive, right, if this thing can't be moved on my own, then it's divorced completely from the area of Tiltal, from my perspective. It's not an object of Tiltal anymore. In fact, I need someone else to help me move it.
Yes.
Okay? Whereas Abaye?
We're saying just a Shnei Adayim. The object is just as much defined as non-moved objects.
Correct.
Okay, that works.